Good morning, everyone. We're going to do better than that.
Good morning.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So when I was thinking as I was getting my gear on here today, just moments ago, I was thinking back to the high school days. Many of you would as well. Now, when we're on the football team, nobody really needed to get us inspired. Like, we were so pumped up. We were like ready to lose our minds. If you participated in any type of scholastic sport, you probably know they call it psyched back when I was growing up. I don't know what they call it today. But they had cheerleaders out there, usually on the track, no matter what field we were playing, and they really weren't there for the players. They were there for the people, to get the people inspired and to remind them why they're there to root for their team. Not against that, but we don't have any cheerleaders today. We are all here. We should have all come in ready to bring a sacrifice of praise. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. It's like, and it's. And I'll just be blunt. And please, I want to say it in a positive way. It's our responsibility as individuals to come into the house of the Lord prepared to worship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, I have a scripture. Many of you are familiar with this. Paul writes these words. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Praise Jesus. Through him who loved us, Jesus Christ, right? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I tell you what, church, what a comfort. What a comfort, despite the circumstances in our lives, despite the circumstances, what's going on in this world, nothing is able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Amen? So I'll be honest with you. If that, and I think it does excite you, because if it doesn't, I can't help you. We are here to worship God. Amen? So I ask you to please stand to your feet. And God, we've committed this house for one purpose, to serve you. To serve you in our worship, in our word, in our prayer, in our giving, all that we do, God. We've come into this house on the Lord's Day, dear God. I'm reminded of the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos. And it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day when I had this appearance, the resurrected Jesus Christ. I pray, dear God, that we would be in the Spirit. That we would be in the Spirit. And we would receive the authority and the power and the vision of Jesus Christ and the love that is in Christ Jesus. God, I pray, Father, for something supernatural to take place in our lives today. Can I get an amen on that? I love you guys, but I'll tell you what. We've come into this house to worship. One thing remains. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on us. Amen. So God, we bless you today. We thank you. We've come to worship you and you alone. For you alone are worthy of all of our worship and all of our praise. And it's in Jesus Christ's precious name we all pray. Amen. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Fails and never gives.
never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid, and there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Amen. I mean, raise it to the heavens. Amen. Yeah. Raise the hallelujah. Even in the presence of our enemies, church. Right. Raise the hallelujah. Amen. Let's give Him praise this morning.
You are forever mine.
unending love, amazing grace, unending love, amazing grace. Jesus, we thank you for your amazing grace, God. Lord, help us to have grace like you have grace. Thank you for setting us free, God. Thank you for your unending love.
Unending love, amazing grace.
Amen. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, God, that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us in the fight of our battles, Jesus. Thank you that we are surrounded by you when it looks like we're not surrounded by anything, Lord. Thank you that we have you to draw near. Thank you that we can fight our battles with you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We came here this morning, God, to praise you, Jesus. We came here to lift our voices to you and our hands, Lord, and move our feet, God. We came here, Lord, to enter into worship, Jesus. Like Don was saying, when we come to a sporting event, we hoot and we holler. Well, this morning we're hooting and hollering for Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We clap for you, Jesus. We give you praise this morning, God. Jesus, you are our Father, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the crown of thorns that you put on your head for us, Jesus. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for your bloodshed, Jesus. We thank you for the pierced nails in your hands and your feet, God. And in your side, Lord, and the blood was shed for us, God. We thank you, Jesus. I just encourage you this morning to sing this song like you're fighting a battle. Sing it with authority. This is how we fight our battles. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Whatever you're dealing with this morning, lay it at the foot of the cross. We thank you, Jesus.
There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. There's a table that you've prepared for me.
This is how I fight my battles. being surrounded is an intentional place. Being surrounded by God is an intentional place. If you understand that it's not a given, this is a place that is intentional. It is a place that we deliberately go. And if you remember the accounts of Jesus, often would go off by himself to be alone with the Father. To be surrounded by God is a place that we intentionally be, that we put ourselves into. There is nothing that we can't overcome when we're in that place. And it's that place of oneness with the Lord. Amen. It's a place of union. It's a place that we were designed to be in. The two shall become one, but it's a great mystery. It's a mystery. The bridegroom being Jesus and the bride being us, the church. The great mystery of being one with God. As Jesus was one with his Father. He came to reveal the Father. That's what he did when he walked the earth. He revealed the Father. That's what we're to do as God's people. And being one with him. Being one with the Father. If we're not one with him, we cannot reveal who he is. Being in a place of overcoming in this world is being intentional. It's not coming to church on Sunday and going home and never being in the presence of God again. This is so important that we understand this as walking in the Spirit. And the Lord just keeps bringing this round and round and round because he's calling his people into a place to fight the battles that we're facing. Do you understand? Do you understand? And I will not stop saying what God has put on my heart until he releases me. Until he releases us from putting it before. No matter where we go, we're talking about it. When we go for ice cream in Cedar Run, we're talking about it. When we go to the grocery store, I'm talking about it. When we go to Dairy Queen, yeah, we eat a lot of ice cream. We're talking about it. I'm passionate about it. And we should be passionate about where we're at right now. There are many people that gave their lives. Men and women in our military that have given their lives. So that we could live in a free country.
Amen.
I saw a sign yesterday that liberty is not necessarily about doing what we want to do. But it's living in a country where we have the option to do what is right. That's freedom. That's liberty. To have the option to do what is right. Not live under communism and being told to do evil. Do you understand that the things and the times that are trying to be changed right now? That even my daughter may be forced to do things that are against what she believes. And she'll have to take a stand for it. She'll have to take a stand. Is the church behind people like that? Are we behind those that are taking a stand for doing what's right and they're going to jail for it? Some of them are even losing their lives for standing up for what's right. This is not a comfortable place to be in, but this is where we are. To me, and hopefully it is for you, I can say it's a great time to be alive. It is a great time in history to take our place and to do what's right, because now it's going to cost you something. Now the rubber meets the road in the house of God and in believers. And without the Spirit of God and being one with the Lord right now, there is no way to stand up because you're going to be afraid. I get afraid. But you do it anyway. Joyce Meyer says, then do it afraid. Great. In Numbers chapter 13, when Israel was, the people of God were sent into the promised land, and the spies went out, to bring back a report for the land that God was going to give them. This is what God said, I'm going to give you this land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be a great place to be, and I promised it to your father Abraham. It says, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. But the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the giants. Oftentimes we get the word of the Lord, and then when it's time for that word to be tested, which it has to be tested, even Jesus was tested with the word from his Father. But when it gets tested, that's when the rubber meets the road. That's when we find out whether Jesus is really in us or not. That's when we find out whether we're walking truly submitted and fearless. When God asked us for something that we don't A, want to do, or B, we're afraid to do, or we're indifferent. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that 98% that's controlled by 2% of the passionate. Remember that quote I read last week? My husband read it. But it says in verse 30, but Caleb quieted the people and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. Come on, amen. We are able to overcome whatever comes at us right now. So God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, this morning that this is how we fight our battles. God, this is how that we are surrounded by you when our lives are totally surrendered to you, that we're in communion with you. And God, I pray a depth and a deepness over this house today. I pray an overcoming spirit. They could overcome the giants in the land because they had the word of the Lord on it. We have the word of the Lord that we are overcomers. Amen. We have the word of the Lord that we are overcomers. Amen. Chuck Swindoll said, I love this quote, when truth is declared, it should light a fire within us. When truth is declared, it should light a fire within us. Because what we're hearing resonates with the person of truth inside of us. And what comes out of our mouth and how we respond to truth says a lot about our walk with the Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are an amazing God. Lord, I thank you. This is an amazing time to be alive. It's a great time to be alive. Can you say that with me? It's a great time to be alive. Amen. Say it again. It's a great time to be alive. God, I just bless this house this morning. I ask your presence to come and its power and your love. Open our hearts, God. Lord, I pray that it would be the confession of every person in this house to surrender whatever they're holding on to. Whatever is the distraction, whatever's pulling us away, God, from truly being in communion with you and walking step in step with you. God, I pray for the desire to put that out of the way. We love you. Just tell him you love him this morning. God, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you, God. I thank you, God, that sin does not disqualify me, God. And I thank you, Lord, that no matter what I face right now, no matter what's going on in my own life, and grab a hold of this prayer. No matter what's going on in your own life, it doesn't disqualify you when you repent and bring it before the Lord. You're put right back in the place you were in before you sinned. Do you understand that? We don't have to continuously beat ourselves up over the same thing all the time.
That's right.
God, I thank you for your goodness and your grace and your power, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You guys can be seated. I'm going to be reading in Acts chapter 7, verse 17 through 36. Acts chapter 7, 17 through 36. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time, Moses was born and was well pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, are you brethren? Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another?" But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, "I am the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses trembled and dared not to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?' is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of an angel who appeared to him in a bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years.
Amen.